Today's daf is Chulin Daf Samach Gimel, and we are six lines from the top of Daf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph Amar Rav Yehuda. So we're moving along discussing the halachas of kosher birds versus non-kosher birds. We saw the Mishnah already made the observation on Daf Nun Tes Amid Aleph that whereas the Torah, when describing the kosher animal versus the non-kosher animal, same is true for the kosher fish versus the non-kosher fish. The Torah states specific simanim, how it is you're supposed to know what's kosher and non-kosher. For example, as it relates to the behemoth, the Torah says, "Kol mafreses parso v'shoshas shes aprosos." In other words, if it has split hooves, malas gero, additionally, it chooses its cud, ba behema oisatechelu, that you're allowed to eat. However, if it's a malas gero and it's not mafres parsa, or if it's mafres parsa and it's not malas gero, and like the Rambam says in the beginning of Perek Beis, hilchas macholos asura, it's kolshkein, if it's not a malas gero and it doesn't have split hooves, there the halacha is, oisatechelu, there you're not allowed to eat it. So the Torah delineates very clearly with simonim how you're supposed to know what makes up the kosher behemoth and what's the non-kosher behemoth. As it relates to the oif, however, the Torah is more ambiguous. The Torah doesn't give any simon in how you're supposed to know what a kosher oif is versus a non-kosher oif. What the Torah does do is the Torah mentions many, many birds and says that those birds are not kosher. And it almost appears, just from reading the psukim in the Torah, that those birds are not kosher. Everything else, however, is kosher. Stating that, we saw it's rather complicated. And the truth is, just to go through these daffin that we're learning now, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos is a challenge in of itself, let alone when you go into the Rishonim and the Achronim. And I don't mean the names of the birds in the pictures. That's the easy part. It's more understanding what exactly Rashi Shita was, what exactly Tosfos Shita was. So in the allotted time that we have, we try to do what we do. But regardless, what emerged Pashup Shat from the Gemara is that the reality is it's not only the 24 birds that are mentioned in the Torah that are halachically considered non-kosher birds, but really there's one of those 20 birds that's considered the paradigm for the non-kosher bird, and anything that's similar to that would also be considered non-kosher. And that was the bird referred to by the Torah as the Nesher, loosely translated as the eagle. Stating that, we'll see a little bit later that it's not so simple amongst the Rishonim that the Nesher is what we know today as the eagle. But regardless, the Torah, or Chazal, said that just like the Nesher is lacking four simanim, or has four unique character traits, we learn from there that any animal that has those four traits would be considered non-kosher. If, however, an oif does not have the four traits that the nesher has, in other words, it doesn't have those four simanim tuma, rather it has even one simin of taira, the halach is that would be enough to render it kosher. What then are the simoni taira? For a behemoth, it's mafreses parso v'shoshas shesa prosos on the one hand, and malaskera on the other hand. As it relates to the oif, it's number one, it has to have an etzbi yasera, it has to have a zefek, its korkovan has to be able to be peeled, and it has to be an oif that's enoy doiris. We also saw Rashi and Tosfos both speak out that any oif that's doiris be a dua, that it's an oif tamis. You have to reconcile that with everything that we just said. But regardless, whereas as it relates to the behemoth, the Torah made it very clear. There's two simanim of what makes up a kosher animal. When it comes to an oif, the Torah didn't mention anything about the kosher bird. What the Torah said was there's a whole list of non-kosher birds. Okay, so what's the list of non-kosher birds? So the truth is that just from being Mavis Edra, you'll see there are two lists. There's a list in Parshas Shemini, and then there's a list again in Parshas Re'eh, which is not such a chiddush, because Re'eh is in Sefer Dvarim, which is Mishnah Torah, which to a degree is Chazara. Regardless, you have the list in Parshas Shemini, and you have the list again in Parshas Re'eh. The list in Parshas Shemini reads as follows. We're going to go through each one, or almost each one, in today's daf. The Torah says, "V'es'elu t'shaktu min ha'oif lo ye'yachlu sheketzeim." Ves ha-nesher, ves ha-peres, ves ha-oznio, ves ha-do'o, ves ha-ayo lemino, ves kol oirev lemino, ves bas ha-yano, ves ha-tachmos, ves ha-shochav, ves ha-netz lemineo, ves ha-kois, ves ha-sholoch, ves ha-yanchuf, ves ha-tinchemes, ves ha-koz, ves ha-rocham, ves ha-chasido ha-anofo lemino, ves ha-duchifas, ves ha-atalev. Those make up the list in Parashas Shemini of the oifos that are non-kosher. If you look in Parashas Re'eh, there's another list, and the list is very, very similar, but it's not the same list. In fact, there's three differences between what the list in Parsha Shmini says and the list in Parsha Rei. Number one, in Parsha Shmini, we have one of the non-kosher birds mentioned is the da'a. The neshe, the peres tozniyot, number four on the list is ves hada'a. The da'a is not mentioned in Parsha Rei. Additionally, in Parsha Rei, there are two birds listed as non-kosher that are not mentioned in Parsha Shmini. Number one, you have not the da'a, but you have the ra'a. And number two, you have the daya. So we had here in Parsha Shmini, that's hada'a, the es ha'aya, lemina. In Parsha Re'e, we don't have the da'a. We have the ra'a, re'e ra'a. We have the ra'a, and whereas we have the aya in Parsha Re'e, we also have another bird that rhymes with aya, and that is the daya. Either way, there's three differences between Parsha Shmini and Parsha Re'e. In Parsha Shmini, we have the da'a. We don't have the da in Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, we have the ra and the daya, both of which we don't have in Parshas Shmini. Why is that? That's going to be discussed in great detail in today's daf. Regardless, the Gemara is going to begin with a detailed discussion trying to understand what exactly these birds mentioned in the Torah as the oifos tmeima. Omar Ameimar, Omar Rabbi Yehuda said shalach, which is one of the oifos that are tomei, which bird is that? How do you identify that? That's the bird that scoops up fish from the bottom of the sea. Du chifas, what's that? Shehoidai kafos, it's hoid. It has this hat, so to speak, of feathers, which is really nice. It gives it its beauty. It's kafos, it gets tied down to its head. Rashi seems to describe it as its feathers can sometimes pop up or it can sometimes be folded into his head. Thus, kafos, milosh, and tied. Regardless, it's the word duchifas. It's made up of hoidai and kafos. It's the bird whose hoidai is kafos. That's the bird that Shlomo HaMelech used to bring the shamir to the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi quotes the Gemara Masechtas Gittin, where the Gemara says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he had the assistance of a worm known as the Shamir, and Shlomo HaMelech was trying to get the Shamir, but he didn't have access to it. So there was a Tarnagol that knew how to bring the Shamir to Shlomo HaMelech. The Tarnagol that Shlomo HaMelech used to get the Shamir, that's this Duchifas, Shahoid and Kafas. It's one of the non-kosher birds mentioned in the Torah. Omar, he would say the following pasuk, Mishpatecha Tohim Rabba, the Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches all the way to the depths of the sea. Because as we said, the Shalach goes to the depths of the sea to find its prey. So you see that those birds that are on the bottom of the sea, they're subject to the mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because through the shalach, they're being consumed. When Rabbi Yechonah would see an ant, Omar, he would say, Tzidkoscha Kahar Rekel. Ironically, he would say that tzedakah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is massive. It's like the mountains. And he was looking at a very small creature, not a very large creature, but Rabbi Yechon was trying to say that the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so abundant, it's so incredible that Hashem does tzedakah and chesed even with the lowly namala, even with the little ant. Omer HaMeimer, HaMeimer said, Likni ubatni shayim. These are two birds, they're kosher birds. Shaknoi ubatnoi, makam shenagu lechel oichlin. It depends. If you live in a place where it's makam shenagu to eat it, then you can eat it. Makam shenagu shaloi lechel. If you live in a place where the minig is not to eat it, don't eat it. Says the Gemara, Atubim and Haga talyu milsa. What does this mean? It's tali and minig? Yeah, there's a concept of chumras and kulas, and there's a whole parak in Masechtas Pesachim that talks about makam shenagu, but obviously that's only with regards to things that have nothing to do with halacha. Whether these birds are kosher birds or non-kosher birds should not be totally admitted, but rather you should have to look at the simanim, go through these difficult sugyas that we're learning right now, and determine whether it's kosher or not kosher. How could it be totally in a makam shenagu? If you're allowed to do a malacha on Erev Pesach, okay, makam shenagu, yeah, makam shenagu, not. Sometimes you find a concept or a Ramah, the place can talk about a bal nefesh should be machmer, but how can makam shenagu be the determining factor whether these birds are permissible to eat or not? And the Gemara says, no, loy kasha. Yesterday's not. Habas with the shchichi peres baznia. Habas with the loy shchichi peres baznia. These birds all had one simin of a kosher bird. Being that they had one simin of a kosher bird, the only birds that you would have to rule out before you eat it is the peres and the aznia. We said that the peres and the aznia were loy shchichi b'yishuv. But apparently there were places where they were. Sometimes. Thus, the Mekoimais, where sometimes it was a Paris and Aznia, people would not eat any bird that had one simen of a kosher bird, because they were afraid that it might be the Paris and the Aznia. Where people lived in areas that there was no
Peres Vosnia, so you didn't have to worry about it. So that's this b'minhog Talia Milsa. Not that the halacha is based on minig. We know exactly what this bird is. It has one kosher siman. If you live in an area where it's shchichi Peres and Vosnia, you can't eat it. Why? Because you're afraid that it might be the Peres and the Vosnia. If you live in a place where it's lo shchichi Peres and Vosnia, then you'd be allowed to eat. I'm Rabbi Kui v'kakui asiri kiko usa. The Marav of the Gemara says Malki Love, that even though Abaya said that Kiko Usa is okay to eat, and Eretz Yisrael, they used to give Malkus for people that eat it. For Karola, they had a different name for it. They used to call it Tachvas. Tan Rabbanon, Tin Shames. That Tin Shames is one of the non-kosher birds mentioned in the list. It's in the list in Parshas Shmini. It's in the list in Parshas Re. Says the Gemara, what exactly is this Tin Shames? It's the Baus Shebe Oifos. Maybe it's the Boaz Shebishrotzim. And the reference of that is another pasuk in Parashat Shmini, where the Torah is not talking about the non-kosher birds. The Torah is talking about the Shmoina Shrotzim. So we know that there are Shmoina Shrotzim, whole parak in Masechta Shabbos, where if they die and they fall on somebody, the person becomes tummy. So not every sheretz is metama. There's only the special group of the Shmoina Shrotzim. This is an exclusive group of shrotzim, of insect, where they have the ability to be metama to my sheretz. And when the Torah lists the Shmoina Shrotzim, it says, v'anoka, v'hakoyach, v'halto, v'achoymet, v'hatin shomes. So there's the tinshomes bird, and then there's the tinshomes sheretz. So the Gemara, the Brisa, speaks out that how do you know when it says tinshomes among the non-kosher birds, it's referring to the Boaz Shebaifas, it's the tinshomes bird. Maybe it's referring to the Boaz Shebishrotzim. And the Gemara gives a very obvious answer. This is easy. This is Yud Gimel Midas Shatar Nidreshes Behem. Tanit Rabbi Yishmael 101. Why? Because Dover, I love it, man. You know, just look at the context. It doesn't make sense. We're talking about a whole bunch of birds that are non-kosher. We mentioned the tinshames. We're probably not referring to the sheretz tinshames. We're probably referring to the oif tinshames. You find a similar brisa in the reverse, in the context of shrotzim. The brisa over there was discussing the shmoina shrotzim, and it mentions the tinshames and says that is the sheretz type of tinshames. Maybe the tinshames mentioned the parish of the shrotzim is actually referring to the tinshames of the oifes. Look at the context. One of the Yud Gimel Midas Shatayr Nidreshes Bem is Dovra Alamed Binyana. In English, look at the context, right? What's the context? We're talking about Oifis, then the Tinshemes is probably the Tinshemes Sheba Oifis. We're talking about Shrotzim, then the Tinshemes is probably the Sheretz version. Either way, Amar Abaya, Boos Sheba Oifis. What exactly is this Boos Sheba Oifis? Kifuf, Boos Sheba Shrotzim. What is that? Kurpadoi. If you look at Rashi, varfs a few French words when describing what exactly this tinshames is. And if you look at the English translation of the French words that Rashi quotes, it seems that Rashi had two pshatim of what the tinshames is. Either the owl or the bat, the inkamakomi. Amar Rav Yehuda, ka'os. What is the ka'os? Zu akuk. Racham. That's another one of the non-kosher birds. Zu shrakrak. Amar Rav Yechanan. Lama nikra shmoi racham. Why is this shrakrak called racham? Because kiven shaba, as soon as it comes, racham, ba'u rachamim la'olam. It brings rachamim to the world. Rashi says, rachamim, one word, mutter. So apparently the racham would come, it would make noise, and you knew that it was going to rain. So being that this bird would signal rain is rachamim, thus it's called the racham, because it brings rachamim la'olam. Amar Rabbi Barabaya, Behudi Yosef Amidi. This is only true if it's sitting, va'avit shrakrak, and it makes noise. English shrieks. The Gemiri, the Yosef Aravashak, that if the racham would sit not just on something, but it would sit on the ground, also Meshicha. That would be a sign that not only is rachamim coming la'olam, Zok Rashi Matar, but it means Mashiach is coming. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Eshrik Olohem va'akabtzeim kifedisem v'ravu kamay ravu. So before Mashiach comes, Eshrik Olohem. What's the Eshrika? It's that bird that's the Shrakrak, which is the racham. which is a non-kosher bird. Interesting. But regardless, when that bird makes noise, when it is oisa, it's shrakrak. Ordinarily, as long as it's sitting, what it means is that rachamim is coming la'ivam. Thus made rachamim rashi, one word, matar. If it would sit on the ground, then it would do that. It means Mashiach's coming. I once saw a bird. It sat in a plowed field. Visharuk. It shrieked. Va'asagolol. And you know what happened? Mashiach didn't come. A rock came. Afsake lemoiche. And it cracked its skull. Amalei. So he told him, who bide the hava? That bird was a liar. It wasn't telling the truth. And as a result, it got punished for not telling the truth. But on Erlich Racham, on Erlich Shrakrak, it would only shriek sitting on the ground if Mashiach's coming. And if you see that happening, it means you have to get ready. Tan Rabban, an oirev. What is the oirev? Is that oirev? It's the oirev. Okay. Es kol oirev. When it says in the Torah, es kol oirev, it's lahavi oirev ha'amaki. It's coming to include not just the oirev, as in the standard, typical oirev, but also the oirev ha'amaki. And when it says the word laminoi, it's lahavi oirev haba b'roshe yoinim. And the Gemara is going to explain. So again, the pasuk is four words. Es kol oirev laminoi. We spoke a little bit about this pasuk in yesterday's now. Es kol oirev laminoi. So it's the rabbi's number one, the oirev. That's what the word oirev means. Es kol is coming to include the oirev ha'amaki. And then when the Torah says leminai, the last word in the pasuk, it's lahavi oirev haba barashi yoinim. Zok tigemar amama oirev ze oirev atu kaman koi. Right, sounds like there was some confusion of what exactly the oirev was. So the Tana, the Braisa said, you want to know what the oirev is? It's the oirev. Now if the oirev was sitting here and the Tana was pointing to the oirev, then it would make sense. Oh, you see that oirev? That's what it is. But v'chayra, there was no oirev in Beis Medrash when the Tana was saying over the Salacha, there were shtenders and gemaras. So what does it mean, oirev ze oirev? How are you supposed to know what that means? So the gemara says, aleima oirev ze oirev uchma. It means the stam oirev, which is a black raven. The chenu oimer, how do you know that the raven is black? It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Roishoi kesem pas, kfutsoisov taltalim, shchayrois. It's black like an oirev. Ha'amaki. What is the oirev ha'amaki that's included from the words eskol chivara? That's not the black raven, but rather it's the white raven. The chenu oimer, the pasuk says, umareu amoik min ha'ar. The context over there is the Torah is talking about a white nega, and it describes its appearance as being deeper than the flesh, deeper than the skin. Umareu amoik. So you see that white is considered amoik. Thus, the white raven is called the oirev amaki. Additionally, another pasuk can marry chamo ha'amukum anatzel. The chamo's appearance is considered to be more amoik than the shade. It's lighter. So you see, lighter is considered amoik. Thus, the oirev amaki is the light color. It's the white raven as opposed to the black raven. The oirev abab rashi yevonim. What does that mean? So we said that when it says, hey, it's called oirev lamina. Lamina is coming to include that oirev that's the roisha yevon. Amar papa loy tema. Don't think that what it means is the asim bereish yoini, that it's the oirev that's like it leads the pigeons. It's the roish of the yoini. That's not what it means. Elo the dami reish of the yoini. There's an oirev whose head looks like the head of a pigeon, and that's that oirev habab roisha yoinim that the Torah includes is also asir because it says eis kol oirev lemina. Zok de gemara tanu rabbanon. Ha-netz, it says in the Torah, v'espas hayano, v'esatachmotz, v'esashochav, v'es ha-netz l'mineo. What's the netz? L'hovi es bas chiri, bar chiri. My bar chiri, amir abayo shurinko, amir av Yehuda, ha-chasida. What's the chasida? Zu daya levana. It's the bird known as the daya levana. Lama nekushma chasida? She'oysa chasidus in chavrei seo. Because it does chesed, Rashi says, michalekes mezoynei seo. It shears its food in chavrei seo, and it's for that reason it's called the chasida. The Sharif said that if the chasida does chesed, so why is it a non-kosher bird? It should have been a kosher bird. So he said, you have to be medayik the Lashon HaGemara. The chasida does chesed, but only in chavrei seo. She only does chesed with her friends. She doesn't do chesed with people that are not part of her chevra, that are not her friends. As a result, it's a non-kosher bird. Anafa, what's that bird? Zudaya ragzon. Salam al-Kishma, Anafa, why is this angry bird, so to speak, called Daya Ragzon? So why is it called Anafa Shemana Efesim? Im chavrei seo. Rashi says it's a pasuk in the Torah. Right, you find Vayis Anaf is a lotion of anger. So that's the idea of the Anafa. It's the Dayuragzonis. Omarav Chanon, Barav Chizda, Omarav Chizda, Omarav Chanon, Bray the Rava, Omarav Esrim, Varba, Oifoist Meim. If you sit down and you do the math, and you count all the birds, what you're going to see is there are 24 birds. So again, a little bit of an introduction, just to chazer over what we spoke at in the intro to the daf, because the next part of the daf, it's not so hard, but it's going to get technical. And that is, the Torah mentions the non-kosher birds twice in the Torah. The Torah mentions it in Parshas Shemini, and the Torah mentions it in Parshas Re'eh again. Incidentally, in Parshas Re'eh, in Mishneh Torah, when the Torah chazers over the list of the non-kosher birds, so over there, the Torah prefaces the list of non-kosher birds by saying, Kol tzipar tahayra toichelu. You're allowed to eat every kosher bird. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, he brings from the Chidah, in his Machzik Bracha, when you're there, Simon Pebez, who says a Dover Nifla, Kol tzipar tahayra toichelu. He said, Shamati b'shema Ariza, that the word tzipar, the oisis tzei, tzadik, pei, vav, resh, which the Torah is mentioning here in the context of the kosher bird, called tzipar, tahir, teichelu, is a remes to the four simani taira of a bird. What are the four simanim? An etzba yisera, a zefek, an enoi doires, and a korkovan. He says the second letter of each one of the four simanim is oisis tzipar. Etzba, aleph tzadik, that's the tzadik. Zefek, Zayim Pei, that's the Pei. Doires is Dalet Vav, that's the Vav. And Kurkavan is Kuf Resh, that's the Resh. So he said, Tzipar is Etzpa, Zefek, Doires, Kurkavan. He brings from the Sefer Avir HaRoyim, that's the Toldus of the Avnei Nezer, that the Avnei Nezer was once told the Svart of Nariza. And the first thing he said was that no, that Rizal could have said something like this. It's Mamish Divrei Nevius, that called Tzipar, Tahira Teichelu, in Tzipar is Merumas, the four Simani Tahir. But then the Avnei Nezer was Moisef. He said that really, what's the Vav? We said Doires. The truth is, the Simon is not that it's Doires. The simon is that it's Enoi Doiris. So he said, if anything, it should have been Enoi Doiris. Why is it Doiris? He said, the truth is the Vav is silent. Because when you say Tzipar, you don't pronounce the Vav. It's Tzadik Peresh. In Yeshem Lamikra, there's not even a Vav. It's only in the Yeshem Lamisiris you have the Vav. See, you know why the Vav is silent? Because it's Enoi Doiris. It's not really Doiris, it's Enoi Doiris. But regardless, so it's called Tzipar Doira Teichelu. You have the list in Parashas Shemini, you have the list in Parashas Re. Now, we said there's three differences between the two lists. Number one, in Parashas Shemini, the Torah mentions bird called the da'a, which is the non-kosher bird. It's not mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. Additionally, in Parashas Re'eh, there's a bird called the ra'a, Re'eh ra'a. There's a bird called the ra'a, which is mentioned as a non-kosher bird, which is not mentioned in Parashas Shemini. Additionally, you have the da'ya, which is mentioned in Parashas Re'eh, which is not mentioned in Parashas Shemini. Now, if you do the math, in Parashas Shemini, there are 20 non-kosher birds mentioned. If you do the math, in Parshas Re'eh, there are 21 non-kosher birds that are mentioned, right? It's the same list. We said there's one that Parshas Shemini has that Parshas Re'eh doesn't have. There are two that Parshas Re'eh has that Parshas Shemini doesn't have. So you have a net positive of one in Parshas Re'eh. So it's 20 in Parshas Shemini, and it's 21 in Parshas Re'eh. Now, we've kept on saying, we had it already right in the beginning of the sugi, there are 24 non-kosher animals. How do you get to 24? It's either 20 or it's 21, or if you want to add the da'a to the list of the 21 of Parashas Re'eh, then hechsens, you would have 22. How do you end up with 24? That's the Gemara. So again, Amrav Chanam Barav Chiz, Amrav Chiz, Amrav Chanam Breda, Rav Amarav. Esrim Abba Oifis Temein Him. There are 24 non-kosher birds. Amrav Chanam Barav Chiz, Amrav Chiz, Do Deich. How do you come up with 24? Idiv Ayikra. If you go through the birds that are mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, Parashas Shemini, Esrim Abba, it's 20. Idiv Mishnah Torah. If you want to count the ones that are mentioned in Mishnah Torah, which is Parashas Re, Esrim Vechadav, it's 21. Vechitem Adod, Chsib Vayikra, Lo Sib Mishnah Torah, Shad Yalayu. And if what it means is you have to take the one that's mentioned in Parashas Shemini, add it to the 21 that are mentioned in Parashas Re. So then you have 21 plus one, back to the envelope arithmetic. Akati Esther Vitrainab. Then what you're gonna end up with 22. So how do you have 24? Amalesi told the Hachi Amravu the Imach Meshmeh de Raf. Lamina, 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 Lamineo. There's four times that the Torah mentions the word Lamina, 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 Lamineo in Parsha Shemini. We just had now it's called Oirev Lamina. But there's four such mentions in Parsha Shemini. Each one is coming to be Marba, another non kosher bird. In other words, what you have is an additional four. But the Gemara says it still doesn't work. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's do the math. Ihachi esrim v'shesava. Because l'chura, you should have the 21 in Parashas Re, add the da'a of Parashas Shemini, which gives you 22, plus lamina, 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 lamineo is another 4. You should end up with 26. Amar Abaye. So Abaye said, da'a v'ra'a achas. You have to say that the da'a mentioned in Parshas Shmini and the Ra'ah mentioned in Parshas Re'eh are really one and the same. So you don't have one in Shmini that's not mentioned in Re'eh, and one in Re'eh that's not mentioned in Shmini. We said the Da is in Parshas Shmini, it's not mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. The Ra'ah is mentioned in Parshas Re'eh, it's not mentioned in Parshas Shmini. They're one and the same. The Da and the Ra'ah are the same. And Rabbi said, I'll prove it to you, because the Esau could die to Tarti Inun. If you're going to tell me that the Ra'ah and the Da are two different birds, when the Torah has it over the birds in Mishnah Torah, the intention was not to subtract from what was already mentioned in Parashat Shmini. It was either to chazer or more likely to add something that wasn't mentioned in Torah's Kainim. Is Maishna Hachadach Siv Da, or Maishna Hachadach Siv Ra of a life Siv Da? So, how's it possible that in Parashat Re'e, the Torah would omit something that was already mentioned in Parashat Shmini Elish Mami? No, it must be. It's not possible that there's something in Shmini that's not mentioned in Re'e. Because Mishnah Torah is Chazara plus, and here it's a subtraction. You have something mentioned in Shmini that's not mentioned in Re'e. Must be the Min Ra Veda Achasi. It must be the one and the same. Okay, so if they're one and the same, how many do you have now? So you have 21 plus 4, right? We thought we had 22, but we just omitted one because we said the Ra and the Da that we were counting as two really should be counted as one. Okay, 22 minus 1 is 21, plus the 4, Lamina, 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 Lamineo, you end up with 25. So, faith, Bakati but you still only have 25. I'm Rabbaya. Abaya said, Kashem Shera'a, Vida, Achasi, just like the Ra and the Da are one, Kach Aya, Vidaya, Achasi. So too, the Aya and the Daya are also one. So the Ayah is mentioned in Parshas Shmini and in Parshas Re'eh. The Daya is not mentioned in Parshas Shmini. That's the other one that's mentioned in Parshas Re'eh that wasn't mentioned in Parshas Shmini. The Ra and the Daya. In fact, when the Torah brings it, it says, Ra'a, that's her Ayah, the Hadaya Lamina. So say Abaya, that just like the Ra and the Da, they sound similar, they're the same. So to the Ayah and the Daya, which also sounds similar, they're also the same. And he said, I'll prove it to you, Abaya. It has to be that way. These look like a tarti, you know, because if you're going to tell me that the Ayah and the Daya are not the same, Mechti. Mishnah Torah is Sufa Diyasa. We said Mishnah Torah is coming to add to Parsha Shmini. Maishna Hacha Dechsev Lamina Ayah, Umaishna Hasam Dechsev Lamina Adaya. When the Torah mentions the Ayah in Parsha Shmini, it says, says the ayah, and it says lamina. That's hada'a, that's her ayah, lamina. That's Parsha Shmini. So it says the word lamina with regards to the ayah. But when the Torah mentions the ayah in Parsha Re'eh, it doesn't say lamina. It says v'hara, that's her ayah, v'hadayah lamina. It doesn't say that the ayah is going to be lamina. It doesn't make sense. Lamina, we said, is going to be marba something. It's called oirev lamina. We said it's coming to be marba a certain type of oirev. So clearly, lamina is being marba something. It's adding to what you would otherwise think. If that's the case, if it mentioned lamina by the ayah in Parshas Shmini, and it doesn't mention lamina by the ayah in Parshas Re'eh, it would mean that Parshas Re'eh is subtracting from what we already have in Parshas Shmini, and that can't be. Ella, you know what you have to say? Shma mina, ayah v'daya achasi. Ayah v'daya must be one. If ayah v'daya are one, so we're not subtracting, because it says ayah lamina Parshas Shmini, it says daya lamina Parshas Re'eh, ayah and daya is the same thing, so both by ayah and by daya, you both have the lamina. Point is if ayah and daya is the same, we were counting them as two. Really, they're only one. So you end up with how much? 20. So we thought you had 22. How'd you get 22? You took the 21 of Parshas Re'eh, you added the da'ah, which is mentioned in Parshas Shmini, it's not mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. You have 22 plus 4, you have 26. How does it shtim with the Messiah of 24? The answer is that we were counting Ra and Da as two. We were also counting Ayah and Daya, they're both mentioned separately in the same Parshas and Parshas Re'eh, as two. Really, Ayah and Daya is one, Ra and Da is one. So it's not 22 plus 4, it's 20 plus 4. That's how you end up with your 20. Says the Gemara, "P'chim yachash ayah v'daya achas." If ayah and daya really one, lamad lein lemichtav ayah v'daya. Why did Torah mention both? So the Gemara k'detanya. Rabbi Yoimi, Rabbi explained it in a brisa. Ekrani ayah daya lamad nemer k'deshli titan pischa pelabadin lachlik. Because we wanted to be lahoitzi liliban shal tzadikim. We wanted to make this as clear as possible. Shaloi te atakira ayah v'hu kira daya atakira daya. There must have been some confusion with what this bird was called. Some people called it ayah. Some people called it daya. The kach kasa b'mishnah Torah. That's her ayah, the hadaya, lamina, to make it clear, the ayah, the daya, not that they're two birds, but it doesn't matter what you call it. The bottom line is, it's 100% awesome. Meisavei, Frank the Gemara Akasha, Lama Nishnu Bebehema, why the Torah Chazer over the kosher and non-kosher animals in Parashas Re'eh, Mipnei HaShesua, because there's one halacha that's mentioned in Parashas Re'eh that we don't know from Parshas Shmini, and that is the halacha of the Shesua. Uba Oifos, why did the Torah chazer over the Oifos? Mipnei Hara, says the Gemara. My labid behemo, the Hasam la Sufe. The Shesua is a whole different animal, as the Gemara had discussed earlier. So, Lechaira, and we're equating the Hisafa of the Behemoth mentioned in Parashas Re'eh to the Isaf of the Oifos mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. So it doesn't sound like they should be the same. We should be consistent. And just like the Isaf of Behemoth is a new Behemoth, maybe by Oifos it's a new Behemoth. We said now there's no new Behemoth. It's the same list. The list in Parashas Shmini is the same as the list in Parashas Re'eh. Right, at the end of the day, there's 20 mentioned in Parashas Shmini. That's the 20. 20 Parashas Shmini, and the 21 mentioned in Parashas Re'eh is the same list. It's really 20 plus the Lamina, 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 Lamina. But regardless, but it doesn't it sound a little bit from this Braisa that the Hisafa Behema, which is a new type of Behema, is the same as the Hisafa the Oifos? And the Gemara says, no. Hasam Leisufe, Hacha Lefrushe. It's up to Gemara, what we just said. And that is, there are 24 non kosher birds, Upliga de Rabavo. This is not consistent with something that Rabavo said. Rabavo said, Ra'a zu ayah. The Ra is the ayah. V'lama nikrishma Ra, why is it called the Ra? Sheraya b'yoyser. The reason it's called the Ra is because it can see very far. V'cheinu, why made a pasuk says, this is a pasuk in Iyoy, Nasiv lo yudai ayit, v'loy shizafatu ein ayah. It's mashma from the spot that even the ayah can't see it. It sees so far. Tana, how far could the ayah see? I mean, it's bavel. It could be standing in bavel. V'roya nevela be'eretz Yisrael. And it's able to see a nevela in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so before we go weiter, and the Gemara makes the cheshbon. So, says the Gemara, what we just said, that there's 24 birds, based on two assumptions, that the ra and the da are the same, and the ayah and the daya are the same. Thus, you have 20 mentions of non-kosher birds, plus lamina, 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 lamineo. That's how you end up with 24. It's pliga de Rabavo. This doesn't work with what Rabavo said. Why? Because Rabavo said that the ra is the ayah. And if that's the case, according to Rabavo, you're not going to have 24, you're going to end up with 23. Why? Because if the ra is the ayah, and the ra is the da, and the ayah is the daya, so that means that those four just became one. It's all one and the same. We had the ra and the da is one, and the ayah and the daya is the one. If the ra and the ayah are also one, that means the ra and the da, the ayah and the daya, are four names for the same exact bird. So if it's all one, then what we counted as two, because we had the ra and the da one, the ayah and the daya one, so in our cheshbin of 24, the four were two. In Rabavo's cheshbin of 24, the four are really one. If that's the case, it must be that he has one less than what we have. So if we have 24, Rabavo had 23. Thus, says the Gemara, Upliga de Rabavo, our cheshbon of Chizda said that there's 24 non-kosher birds doesn't shim with Rabavo. Now the Gemara is going to just make the cheshbon inside. How do you know? Maybe Rabavo holds of 24 as well, but Rabavo doesn't agree that either the ra is the da, or that the ayah is the daya. He holds that the ra is the ayah, but that one of the others are not the same. If that's the case, maybe he can end up with the same exact 24. And the Gemara is going to say it's not possible, based on the cheshbon that we said before. Because we proved that the ra and the da were one. We proved that the ayah and the daya were one. These weren't just svaris. This the Gemara proved. How did the Gemara prove it? Because the Gemara said if the ra and the da are not the same, that it comes out that the da is mentioned in Parashas Re'eh, and it's not, it's mentioned in Parashas Shmini, and it's not mentioned in Parashas Re'eh. That means Parashas Re'eh omitted one of the non-kosher birds that were mentioned in Parashas Shmini. And that can't be, because Mechti, the Gemara said, Mishneh Teir Laisufi Da'asa. Mishneh Teir is coming to be Meisav. So it must be that somewhere the Da is mentioned, the Parashas Re'eh. Where's it mentioned? Oh, it's probably the Ra. The Ra and the Da, one and the same. So it wasn't just the Svara. We had proved it. We also proved that Ayah and Ayah was the same. How did we prove it? Because when the Torah mentions the ayah in Parashas Shmini, it says Vesa ayah lamina. When the Torah mentions the ayah in Parashas Re'eh, it doesn't say Vesa ayah lamina. Lamina is coming to include something. So if it doesn't say lamina in Parashas Re'eh, that means the list of Parashas Re'eh is taking away again from Parashas Shmini. And again, Mechti Mishnah Torah Lai Suvei Liyasa, they can't be. So he said, oh, must be the Ayin, that Daya is the same. So even though it doesn't say Ayalamina in Parshas Re, it says Dayalamina in Parshas Re. And Dayalamina and Ayalamina is essentially the same thing. So the Gemara is going to taina that really you can't say that Rabbi Avoh holds of 24. And although Rabbi Avoh said the Ra and the Ayah are the same, but maybe he holds the Ra and the Da aren't the same. Or maybe he holds the Ayah and the Daya aren't the same. So just like we made two from these four, Rabbi Avoh also made two from these four, albeit a different two, because both of the twos that we made from four, both of those cheshbonos were proven. The ayah had to be the daya, and the ra had to be the da. And it's not possible for Rabbi Avoh to disagree with that. It's not possible for Rabbi Avoh to disagree with that. And Rabbi Avoh holds that the ra is the ayah, so if the ra has to be the da, and the ayah has to be the daya, and the ra also has to be the ayah, it means that the Ra also has to be the Daya, and the Da also has to be the Ayah and the Ra. It means it's all the same, right? So if it's all the same, so it comes out, you have 23, thus, we'll plead Rabbi Avoh. So everything we just spoke out, Baal Peh, we'll see inside. So the Gemara. Midra, Hainu Ayah, Michlal de Da, Lav Hainu Ra. The only way to have Rabbi Avoh being 24, if the Ra is the Ayah, is by saying that the Da is not the Ra. But the Gemara says you can't say that because Mechti Mishnah Torah Sufi Da also. Ma'ishal Kedek Siv Da, Ma'ishal Hasam Dolayik Siv Da, Elav Shmami No Da V'Ra Achasi. It has to be one and the same because otherwise you have the Da in Shmini that you don't have in Re'eh. That's not possible. So the Gemara says, okay, the only other way to make Rabbi Avoh work and say Rabbi Avoh holds of 24 is Midra Hainu Ayah, Michlal De Da, Elav Hainu Ayah. Maybe the Da and the Ayah is not the same. But the Gemara says that it can't either because Ma'ishal Hasam Dolayik Siv Lemin Ayah, Who Ma'ishal Hachad Dolayik Siv Lemin Ayah. Ella, Adaya, Ella Shmamino, Dovera, Daya Va'aya, Achasi. If they're all one, must be Rabbi Avoh has one less than we have, because we made from those four two, Rabbi Avoh made from those four one, we had 24, must be Rabbi Avoh has 23, says the Gemara, Upliga the Rabbi Avoh. Drop more Gemara, Tanya Isa ben Yehuda Oimer, Meya Oifa Yisthmeim Yesh ben Mizrach, Vekulon min Ayohen. There are 24 birds, the Mizrach, and they're all different types of ayah. Tani Avimi Breid Rabbi Avoh, Zayin Meis Minei Doginhe. There are 700 types of dogin. The Ches Meis Minei Chagovin, 800 types of grasshoppers. Ula Oifois Ein Mispar, says the Gemara. Oifois, what do you mean? Chavtalet Ava, I thought it's 24. El Ula Oifois Tahoyrim Ein Mispar means there's no limit to the amount of Oifois Tahoyrim there are. Exhale. We'll pick up the Gemara tomorrow. But before we end, just to end with one ha'ara, and that is, so we're discussing over here the Oifos Tmeim. And as mentioned, the Oifos Tahoyrim and Tmeim, the Simonim that make up a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird, are not mentioned in the Torah. So whereas by the Behemoth, the Torah singles out exactly what the Simonim are of a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal. When it comes to the bird, the Torah doesn't mention anything about what makes up a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird. What the Torah does do is the Torah mentions 20, 21, which is really 24 non-kosher birds as it relates to everything else. It's a little confusing what exactly we're supposed to take away from the sugya, Rashi, Tosfos, as we mentioned in the introduction, Ayin B'Rishonim and the Achronim. But the pashta seems to be that as long as an oif has one of the four kosher simanim, Einoi Doires, Kurkavanoi Niflach, has an Etzbiyaseir or a Zefek, that would be enough for it to be kosher. And the reason is because the paradigm of the non-kosher bird is the Nesher. It's the first of the birds that the Torah mentions is non-kosher. It's first in the list in Parshas Shmini. It's first in the list in Parshas Re'eh. So the paradigm of the non-kosher bird became the Nesher. And being that the paradigm became the Nesher, it's for that reason, just like the Nesher doesn't have any Simone Taira, it's a Doires. It doesn't have the Etzbe Yisera. It doesn't have a Zefek. Its Kurkavan is not Nikla. So too, in order for a bird to be considered non-kosher, it would have to be similar to the Nesher. It's interesting that the Nesher was chosen as the symbol of the non-kosher bird, because the Nesher has a lot of significance within in the Torah of Iksav. I mean, you find the Nesher mentioned very often. Number one, Yecheskel Hanavi, and Yecheskel Perek Aleph, in the Maisa Merkavos, so when Yecheskel looks up, he says he saw the Kisei HaKavod, and he saw four faces on the Kisei HaKavod. He saw a Dmus Adam, he saw the Dmus of a lion, he saw the Dmus of a Shor, an ox, and he saw the Dmus of a Nesher. So the Dmus of a Nesher is Chakuk in the Kisei HaKavod. It's a non-kosher animal. The truth is the lion is also non-kosher. But it's interesting that he saw an Adam, he saw a Shor, He saw a lion, an Aryeh, and he saw a Nesher as well. Pashup Shad, and I saw in the Aznayim L'Torah, in Parsha Shmini, he says that the reason that these four faces are etched into the Kisei HaKavod, because they're all the Melachim, they're all the kings of their respective kingdoms. The Adam is Moshe Ala Aretz. The lion is the king of the animal kingdom. The Shar is the king of the Behemoth. And the Nesher is the king of the birds. So it's more because of the fact that it's a king that it's mentioned. It's less so because of the fact that it's kosher. And Hanami, it really is a non-kosher. Another place you find the Nesher is in Parashas Yisroel. So we just learned this on Shabbos. Atem Re'isem Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ese Eschem Al Kanfev Nisharim, V'odhi Eschem Alai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ese Eschem Al Kanfev Nisharim. I think it's good just to digress, just to lighten the mood a little bit for a few minutes with regards to this pasuk. So we're talking about Nesher, 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 Zereshova Muchna. So we'll just talk about Atem Re'isem Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim, V'ese Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim, V'avi Eschem Alai. You know, it's interesting. It's Murgul B'Pumei De'inshi, that when Mashiach comes, we're all going to go on the wings of eagles, quote unquote, and we're all going to be taken to Yerushalayim. Where does it come from? Presumably this pasuk, I think. Atem Re'isem Asher Asisi L'Mitzrayim, V'ese Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim. Now, it's a little bit of a misnomer, because this pasuk is not describing an event that's going to happen in the future. This pasuk is actually describing an event that took place in the past. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking about Chodesh HaShlishi, Letzeis Bnei Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's Chodesh Sivan. The Yidden are about to get the Torah, and they get a little schmooze right before Kabbalah Satoyer Ve'Yisrael Yisugula Mikol Amim Vatam Tildim Amlachas Kain of a good Kaddish. Some of the most beautiful psukim in the Torah are right here in Parashas Yisrael. And one of the things that Kaddish Baruch Hu says, Va'ikra Elav Hashem in Ahar Leimor Koysoy Malaveis Yaakov V'Sagav B'nei Yisrael. This is the Musa Shmuzes of all Musa Shmuzes. Atem Ro'isim Esher Otzizim Mitzrayim Va'esa Eschon Kafi Nishon. The truth is, the Rishonim discuss when exactly did this happen? When in history did this take place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I took you on the wings of eagles. So Rashi already addresses the question. Rashi says that we know that when Yidden were in Mitzrayim, where did they live? They lived in Goshen. But when they left Mitzrayim, where did they depart from? It was the proverbial airport. Where did they leave Mitzrayim from? They left from Ramses. So how did all of Klal Yisrael, the Chavushim, Ol Bnei Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, how did they get to Ramses to be able to exit Mitzrayim and begin the 40-year journey in the Midbar? Says Rashi, V'eso eschem zeh hayom shavo Yisrael Ramses. This is the day that the Yidden went to Ramses. Shavo Yisrael mefuzarim b'chol eretz Goshen. They were spread throughout Goshen. U'l'shok kala, k'shavo lisa v'lotzeis, nikbetzu kulam l'Ramses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden on the wings of eagles, and he took them to Ramses. That's what the pasuk is referring to when it says Ve'esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim. If you look in the Targum Yoimison on this pasuk, Ve'esa Eschem Al Kanfei Nisharim, so this is Aramaic, not so easy to read. Uta'onis Yaschoin Al Anonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden on Anani HaKovid. Hei Ka'al Gadfei Nishrin, which was like Kanfei Nisharim. Not literally Kanfei Nisharim. It was like Kanfei Nisharim. Min Pilusin. Ve'ivelus Yaschoin. And where did he take the Yidden? So he went to Kanfei Nisharim. Where? La'asar Beis Mukdasha. He took them to the Beis HaMikdash. Le'meva Tamon Pischa. To be able to bring the carpet Pesach. We know the Yidden brought a carpet Pesach when they were in Mitzrayim. They brought the Pesach Mitzrayim. Where was the Pesach Mitzrayim brought? Pasha, it was brought in Mitzrayim. That's the Pesach Mitzrayim. No, it wasn't brought in Mitzrayim. It was actually brought in the Makom HaMikdash, but the Yidden were in Goshen, they were in Ramses. How did they get to the Makom HaMikdash? Says the Targum Yoinesan HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden. He took them on the Anani HaKavid. Ubahu Lelya. On that night, Isivas Yaschen Lefilusen, he brought them to the Makom HaMikdash, Umitamon Krivas Yaschen Leufanai Raisi. And that's the end of the Pasuk, Va'avi Eschem Alai. So when exactly, what was the Va'esa Eschem HaKavid? It wasn't from Goshen to Ramses, so that we should all be now ready to depart. Rather, what it meant was HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden with Anani HaKavod, he brought them to Yerushalayim. I saw there, Shmuel Yankiv in his Sefer, Zois LeYakov, on this pasuk. So he says something beautiful. He says that we say in Parshas Kisavai, in the Parsh of Mikra Bikurim. So the pasuk says, V'yivyeinu al amokim hazeh, V'yitein lonu es ha'oretz hazois, Erez avas chol v'dvash. So the Yidden has Bikurim, he brings it to Beis HaMikdash, he's going to give it to the Kayanim, and he has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, HaKoros HaToiv starts from the beginning, Arami Yovidavi, and he works up, finally, you brought us there. Yisrael, and you gave us the land where milk and honey flow. The parsha bikur. So what does he say? So Rashi, you gave us the Beis HaMikdash. And you gave us Eretz Yisrael. So Shmuel Yankiv stelled that why does it mention first the Beis HaMikdash and then Eretz Yisrael? It should have been in the reverse order. First you gave us the Beis HaMikdash, then you gave us Eretz Yisrael. The Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua, but 480 years later, Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. So really the Beis HaMikdash chronologically came much later, centuries later, than actually getting Eretz Yisrael. Like the Targum Yonah said, it's very nice. The Yidden came first to the Beis HaMikdash. When was that? Va'avi Eschem. That's when the Yidden came to the Beis HaMikdash, and it was years later, it was 40 years later, that the Yidden got it. But regardless, that's the cheshbon. It's beautiful that it was in that order. So another pshat I saw in the Znaim L'Toyra, again from the Lutzke Rav, so he says maybe a different pshat. What does it mean? He says when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they were in the Memtes Shari Toma. Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Valalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Yecheskel described it in very great detail in Perek Chaf, where the Yidden were stufin, they were steeped in the culture of the Egyptians. The Rambam talks about it in his Mayor Nevuchim. Regardless, the Yidden were in a very bad spiritual place when they left Mitzrayim. What happened? It wasn't that much later that the Yidden stood at the foot of Har Sinai and they were mekabel the Torah. They had Kriyas Yamsev where Ros Hashivcho Bayom Mashaloi Ro Yecheskel Bambuzi Lo'olam. I mean, they needed mitzvahs in order to be Zoicho. So they had Va'erech Va'ever Alayich Va'erech Mispoiseses B'damayich Va'oimelach B'damayich Chayiv D'mayich Chayiv D'amilu D'am Pesach. They were poached and trying to chap a mitzvah so that they should have some schus to me. But with the Yidden, they went 0 to 60 in a nanosecond. They literally went from being a Mitzrayim, Halalu. And all of a sudden they're bringing a carbon Pesach and there's this kanfei nesharim and all of a sudden there's kriyas yamsev v'ras hashivcha bayom mashalei ro yecheskel bambuzi v'atem tili mamleches koyanim v'goy kodesh. And then the mekabel the Torah where every single yid was a navi, the Rambam in Perek Ches milchus yisaydi atayr. I mean, all the schools, everything that we know, this all happened in such a short period of time. See, he said the Yidden went from being so low to so high in such a short period of time. Not just physically, where they were avodim ayinu l'parei b'mitzrayim v'yotzeinu Hashem, but spiritually, says the Lutzke Rav, that's the emphasis. V'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yidden and he put them on the proverbial kanfei nesharim. He brought them so high, spiritually. He lifted them up from the depths of the tumah that they were in, va'avi eschem elai. So now they should be on the madrega where they should be able to see mashalei ro yecheskel bambuzi mi'olam, where they should be able to be mekabel Torah. The va'eva eso es kanfei nesharim. The kanfei nesharim suggests that it's very, very high. Rashi says, why the nesher? Why not any other bird? Says Rashi, kinesher hanoise goizolov al knafav. Like the nesher, when it carries its children, it carries it on top of its wings. Shekol shara oifos, all the other birds, noisnen as b'neim ben ragleim. When they carry their children, they carry them beneath them, in their feet. Because they're worried about a bird that flies high in them, it should come after them. But this nesher enoi misyori ela min ha'odom. He's only worried about the person. Shem yizrik b'yches. Because he flies higher than any other bird. There's no bird that flies as high as him. It's for that reason. It's for that reason that he puts him on top of his birds. Said HaKadosh Baruch Afani Osisike. I did the same exact thing. It says the Yidden didn't just go. They didn't just travel. This wasn't just an airplane, quote unquote, a Boeing. This was the SOS Chamal Kanfei Nisharim. They were as high as you can possibly be. And the Lutzke Rav, he says it so beautifully. He says, ordinarily, when somebody finds himself in a dark place and he wants to creep out, it's not so easy to creep out. It could take time. It could be work. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Eschem al kanfei nesharim. I was thinking there, Rav Tzadik HaKohen says that the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim is something that, although it was an event, it was an episode that happened at one point in history, but every single person can find himself in his own Mitzrayim. And every person has to leave his own Mitzrayim. And a lot of the skulos that you find that happened, b'chipazoyin, and the idea of everything that, of mikamoidorat, labrador, isa kofalai kodesh baruch, har kigiyas, these are things that sometimes will repeat themselves in a person's life. So perhaps this idea as well, that sometimes a kodesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees a person, he's struggling, he's in a very dark place, he's in a place of Memtesh Shari Tuma, but there's a midah of the Eses HaKam Finishar, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take a person and he'll lift him up to the highest of all highs, the Avi Escha Melai, just to bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something that we could all be zoichet to in our own personal Yitzias Mitzrayim. But just to end on a more technical note, and that is, so what exactly is the Neshem? So again, on wings of eagles, right? It comes from this pasuk, Al Kanfei Nesharim. But is the Nesher really the eagle? So the truth is that it's a machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim seem to attribute this Nesher to the eagle, whereas others seem to suggest that it's not. In fact, when the Ramban talks about the Nesher, so the Ramban refers to it as the bald Nesher, which would be very tempting for an amateur to say, oh, the bald Nesher, it's the bald eagle, right? The Nesher is the eagle, the bald eagle, this is the national bird of the United States of America. So it would seem to be a very natural segue. Just lahavdol for a moment, so you know that the bald eagle, that's the symbol. It's the national bird, it's the national animal of the United States of America. It appears on some of your shekels that you have in your pocket. So it's interesting that after the founding fathers decided that the bald eagle should be the national bird, so Benjamin Franklin wrote the following letter. Apparently he wasn't so happy about it. I quote, he said, "I wish that the bald eagle had not been chosen as the representative of our country. He is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. You may have seen him perched on some dead tree where, too lazy to fish for himself, he watches the labor of the fishing hawk, and when that diligent bird has at length taken a fish and is bearing it to its nest for the support of his mate and young ones, the bald eagle pursues him and takes it from him. Besides, he is a rank coward. The little kingdom, not bigger than a sparrow, attacks him boldly and drives him out of the district. He is therefore by no means a proper emblem for the brave and honest ... of America." Now, his suggestion was that the turkey should be the national bird of the United States. That's a whole other discussion. So my Muscharishan, I stumbled upon this letter, and I said, oh, look at this. So the eagle, he's not such a melech after all. I mean, Benjamin Franklin seemed to describe him as a rank coward. He's also a bird of bad moral character. So, I mean, that would explain maybe why he's the symbol of the non-kosher bird. But the truth is, this is all a mistake. Number one, the bald eagle is not bald. It has hair. It has white hair, and because it has white here, based on the etymology of the word bald, he's known as the bald eagle. But it's not simply because he's kareach migano mikan. That's not the reason that he's called the bald eagle. Regardless, this bald nesher that the Ramban was describing was really bald. It really had no hair. But anyway, some do say that the nesher is the eagle. But it seems that the more conventional approach to what exactly the nesher is it's actually a vulture. It's specifically the griffin vulture, G-R-I-F-F-O-N, the griffin vulture. That seems to be what it is. I'll just tell you, I researched it a little bit, just one interesting anecdote, and that is that the griffin vulture flies very, very high. See, I left this at home, I have the wrong page, but regardless, it flies very high. In fact, the highest recorded flight that a bird ever took was in the early 1970s. There was a bird that crashed, believe it or not, with an airplane flying over West Africa. Its altitude was 37,000 feet, and it was none other than the griffin vulture. Rashi says that there's no oif that is pireach higher than the nesher. It's the highest, thus it's able to take its children and not carry it underneath him, but rather put it on top of it. It's the griffin vulture, which it seems most Rishonim held was the nesher.